It's interesting that in 2022, out of the 176.5 million privately insured Americans, only 71.7 million of them had an HSA, a health savings account. So today I want to explore health savings accounts. And now that open enrollment for 2024 is right around the corner, I want to share all the most helpful information you need to know so that you can make the best choice for your health coverage. Full disclosure, I am a big fan of HSAs, and I have been since 2017 when my wife and I enrolled in ours. Since then, we've had four kids. But anyways, there are so many great advantages to an HSA and some important tips that I will go over in this podcast so you don't make the mistakes that, well, could cost you. So let's start with the basics and answer what an HSA exactly is. HSA stands for Health Savings Account, and this is a tax-exempt trust or custodial account you set up with a qualified HSA trustee to pay or reimburse certain medical expenses you incur. Remember that word reimburse, that's going to be important later on. That's straight from the IRS, but I think this needs to be explained just a little bit further, a little bit simpler. Basically, this is a type of savings account that you can save money in on a pre-tax basis to pay for qualified medical expenses. There's a huge advantage to health savings accounts because the money that goes into your HSA is untaxed and can be used to pay for deductibles, co-payments, co-insurance, and other qualified expenses tax-free. And you have an investment component of that HSA where you can invest the money and not have to worry about paying taxes year to year. And if you use the money that grows or the money that you deposited for medical expenses, you don't get taxed on the withdrawals because you're using it for qualified medical expenses. So you're ready to go get an HSA. How does that work, right? To have an HSA, you have to have what's called a high deductible health plan, an HDHP. So for the calendar year 2024, a high deductible health plan is going to be defined as a health plan with an annual deductible that is not less than $1,600 for self-only coverage or $3,200 for family coverage, and for which the annual out-of-pocket expenses, and this is going to include deductibles, co-payments, and other amounts, but not premiums, do not exceed $8,050 for self-only coverage or $16,100 for family coverage. So for those of us in the workforce, check with your employer. Fortunately, we have an HSA that's offered through my workplace with some of the health insurance plans that are available to us. But even if your workplace doesn't have an HSA available with the health coverage that you have, you can still shop for an HSA provided you have that high deductible health plan. HSAs are typically offered from banks or credit unions and even brokerage firms like Fidelity. Fidelity has a highly rated HSA that I probably would go sign up for if I didn't have the opportunity to get an HSA through my employer. So just go Google Fidelity HSA and you'll be able to get to that link, that webpage where you can look into and explore and hopefully maybe sign up for a Fidelity HSA with your high deductible health plan that you have through your workplace or anywhere else. Now, some other important requirements that you need to be aware of: you cannot be covered by other health insurance. You must not be enrolled in Medicare. You can be HSA eligible for the months before being covered by Medicare. And also, you cannot be eligible to be claimed as a dependent on someone else's tax return. Oh yeah, and with the high deductible health plan, you have to be covered by that high deductible health plan to get that HSA on the first day of the month. So even right now, you still have some time to get an HSA open in 2023 because we're still in October, November, and you essentially have until December 1st to open your HSA, and you have until the tax filing deadline, not the extension, the deadline in April to make your contributions. The IRS calls this the last month rule, and what they say is that you are treated as having the same high deductible health plan coverage for the entire year as you had on the first day of the last month if you didn't otherwise have coverage. You just want to make sure that you stay eligible for your HSA through what's called the testing period. The IRS is very clear on this. If contributions were made to your HSA based on you being an eligible individual for the entire year under the last month rule, you must remain an eligible individual during the testing period. For the last month rule, the testing period begins with the last month of your tax year and ends on the last day of the 12th month following that month. For example, December 1st, 2021 through the next year, December 31st, 2022. So you might be curious, what are the income limits for an HSA? Is there a maximum amount I can earn before I'm disqualified from having an HSA? Good news is that there are no income limits, but you do need to be enrolled in a high deductible health plan, as we discussed, and follow those other rules that I also discussed just a little bit ago. So how much can you contribute to your HSA in 2024? For the calendar year 2024, the government tells us that the annual limitation on deductions for an individual with self-only coverage under a high deductible health plan is $4,150. For those of you with family coverage, you can contribute to a maximum amount of $8,300. For the individual self-coverage, this is actually up $300 from the 2023 amount. And for those of you with family coverage, this is going to be up $550 from the 2023 amount. Some other important numbers, the maximum out of pocket is capped at $8,050 for the individual with self-coverage. And for the ones with family coverage, your maximum out of pocket is capped at $16,100. Just like your 401ks and your IRAs, you do have catch-up contributions for people over a certain age. Individuals who have an HSA and are over the age 55 can also contribute an extra $1,000 annually, and that's called the catch-up contribution. Now, keep in mind that all or a certain portion of this money can be invested so that it can grow over time. And also, that money invested can go down because the market is not predictable. Just because you have an opportunity to invest that money in HSA doesn't mean that there are no risks. There are going to be risks. Yes, you can invest that money, but I would pause and look over your savings accounts, your other investment accounts, to make sure that you have the maximum out-of-pocket expenses until insurance covers everything. I feel like the actual spending and using the money in your HSA deserves its own podcast, so be on the lookout for that. But you definitely want to be able to have at least the maximum out of pocket that you're obligated to pay for saved up between your own personal savings, investments, and even your HSA. I would rather use the money that's in my checking and or savings accounts, my emergency fund, because I want that money in my HSA to be invested and continue to grow and compound over time. And I'm going to get into some tips and strategies that you're going to be able to use with your HSA, and hopefully you will learn why this is a key strategy when having a health savings account. So let's get into some of the tips and strategies around HSAs. Now, first, just like I mentioned, you don't have to use an HSA to pay for medical expenses right away. Save the medical expense receipts, let the HSA invest and grow and continue to compound. And if needed, you can reimburse yourself for those medical expenses anytime in the future for non-emergency expenses or even a vacation that you and your family want to take. Of course, this is going to mean that you're going to have a system where you maintain good records. You keep up with the receipts for those medical expenses. Some of the HSAs allow you to upload receipts. Sometimes you have different databases where you can upload your own receipts to a private server or a private account, and you can always reimburse yourself in the future with the money that's in your HSA for what you spent out of your own pocket that's not in the HSA. So that's pretty cool because you allow that money to invest and compound over time. So you're basically just taking the earnings and reimbursing yourself with the earnings instead of the principal, which to me is a powerful strategy of building wealth and not having to worry about, you know, spending the money that's in your HSA. As we've been talking about, yes, you can invest the money that's in your HSA, and you can invest this money in index funds that are probably going to be available to you, and you know that money will grow tax-free. Now, one thing I try to remind myself is to invest in index funds that are low cost. Thankfully, in my Optum Bank HSA, I have access to VTSAX, which is Vanguard's US Total Market Index Fund. I'm very pleased with it. That's where 100% of my HSA dollars are in. Yes, we do have a savings account, an emergency fund that we try to target to cover those emergency expenses and just let the money in the HSA grow. To me, that's just what I would do, especially if I was in my 20s, 30s, 40s, maybe even 50s, because I'm not expecting any emergency expenses. And in the case that that does happen, at least I have my emergency fund to lean on without having to tap into the HSA, at least not at that moment. Now, something cool about an HSA, after you turn 65, your HSA funds can be withdrawn for anything similar to the way a traditional IRA works or a 401k works. You would just have to pay your income tax on the withdrawals. However, if you try to use your funds in an HSA for non-qualified expenses before the age of 65, you will pay income tax and a 20% penalty. That's not fun. That's not something I would do. That's why you want to resort to the HSA for anything before the age of 65 for anything non-medical as a last resort. You definitely don't want to tap into that HSA unless it's for a medical emergency, a medical expense, a qualified medical emergency, qualified medical expense. Now, something a lot of people do overlook is if you're employed by a company, sometimes that company will provide funds, will provide you HSA dollars to put in your HSA account. For example, a company can offer HSA dollars if you get a physical or watch a health video. That is free money for you and your family to fund your HSA without having to use your own personal funds. This has become a very huge benefit for me and so many of my colleagues. We basically meet the deductible, the majority of the deductible, through what the company contributes into our HSA because of those special rewards. It's incredible, and I think that's something that you definitely want to look into with your employer. And another often overlooked fact of the HSA is when you contribute to your HSA, it's actually adjusting your gross income. So you're actually showing that you make less, which means you pay less in taxes. And so you contributing to your HSA is actually going to lower what your total income is when you file taxes. So that itself, being able to contribute to an HSA and also reduce your tax liability is huge. Now, if you have an HSA, chances are you also have a 401k. And there are five huge mistakes I see people make with their 401ks. I talk about it in the video on the screen. Check it out, and I'll see you over there. Peace.